Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, wasn't that a powerful video? Just seeing how, man, the Lighthouse Pregnancy Centers are coming alongside women and helping support them and their children. And so our Give Life campaign is kicked off. We're going to be receiving funds throughout the month of December and January. And your giving for the Give Life campaign is actually going to go to three areas. Number one is to the Lighthouse Pregnancy Centers. A third will go there. A third will go to Operation Ultrasound. Statistics show us this, that when a woman considering terminating her pregnancy sees the baby in utero, some 54% of the time she decides to keep the baby. And then lastly but not least is a third of the proceeds will go to our church here, where by the grace of God we're able to offer new life in Christ Jesus. And so won't you join us in our Give Life campaign. For any information concerning the campaign, you can just go to our website, encnj.org. And so that's it for my quasi announcements. And what do you say we get into the word? We're gonna get into the word. We're gonna talk about joy this morning. And before we do, I need to just frame it with a little story here. We have a flow at Christmas time. Like, do you have a flow at Christmas? There's been a few Christmases where I've spent it at other people's homes, and I just can't help but think, I'm like, you're doing it wrong. See, because we have a flow in the Burt household of how Christmas and Christmas Eve is supposed to work. And so I'll let you into to our flow, and then you let me know what you think. So Christmas Eve, it always starts with our Christmas Eve service. For the record, this year, it's going to be virtual service. It'll be at 6 p.m. On all of our social media feeds through Facebook and through our YouTube channel. So hope you can enjoy us on Christmas Eve. I'm pretty pumped because I'm not going to put a suit on, okay? And so my family and I, Christmas Eve, we're going to watch the Christmas Eve service together. And then afterwards, we will follow that up with not really a dinner or a meal, but heavy hors d'oeuvres. Are you feeling me on this? Like, so there's just variety all over the place. So heavy hors d'oeuvres will be on the menu. There's going to be a glass of red wine for me on that evening. And so if you think wine is sinful, it's not. White wine is sinful, or wine from a box, but red wine, that's the wine that Jesus drank, all right? And so I'm going to have a glass of red wine, and then my family, we will get together, and on Christmas Eve, you get to open one present. So you better choose wisely, right? And so we'll get around the tree, and we'll each pick out a present, and then we open them in an orderly fashion. Now, some of you that just plow through everything at once, shame on you. You need to go in order. And so in the Burt house, we go from the youngest to the oldest. And so it's going to begin with my youngest daughter, Elizabeth. It'll go to Cassie, and then it'll go to me, and Susan opens last because she's the oldest in our home. And so I always like to remind her of that each and every year. She's robbing the cradle here, but and then we'll shut her down, snuggle up, and here's what I do know. Christmas morning, I'm going to be the first one up. But that wasn't always the case. Because when my kids were young, it was like, you remember, you stayed up late, man, just wrapping presents and doing stuff, and you get to bed, and then, you know, come like 4:30 in the morning, you see, you can feel your kids staring at you in the face, right? Saying, get up, Dad. Well, I promise you, I'll be the first one up this Christmas morning, and I'll get up, I'll get my coffee, get my Bible, and I'll reread the Christmas story. And here's something else we do, that stockings are fair game. They're fair game. And so when you get up, you're allowed to get into your stocking and do all that. And one by one, my family members will get up and they'll go through their stocking. But then we don't go to presents. We go to Cinnabon. Okay? Cinnabon. And let me just tell you, there's a week's worth of calories in one bun. And we've learned by experience that my daughters would fight on Christmas morning over the frosting. So we get extra frosting so we can all have a Christmas spirit in the morning. And after that Cinnabon, I realized I got about an hour and a half window before the sugar coma hits into my daughters and everyone will fall asleep. So we got to get to opening presents. And we'll open presents in an orderly fashion, once again, from youngest to oldest. Did I mention that Susan was the last one to open? And so as we're opening up presents, here's the funny thing is, our presents that we got our daughters, I'm going to be equally as surprised because my wife does all the shopping, all right? But I am involved in one gift, and I think that's where I want to camp out today. That for my wife and for my daughters, each and every year, I help pick out a wow gift. A wow gift. Like it's that gift you open up and you weren't really expecting it. It's over the top. It's extravagant. It's at times overwhelming. And it is the wow gift. And I want to talk to you about God's wow gift to you and I. It's His Son, Jesus Christ, and the joy we receive in and through His life. And so, Lord, I pray you give us grace this morning. Lord, as we learn about the joy of the Lord this morning. And so, I'm not sure if you've ever just read through these sequences in the Bible and you see this wow gift, the joy of the Lord on display. It's staggering and fascinating. Like in Acts chapter 5, you might recall that all the disciples were arrested. And then the Bible is clear that they were all beaten. And so most likely they were given 39 lashes. And so they would give them two on their back. And then they would flip them and give them one on the front. And they would do that 13 times, leaving wounds all across their body. And then the Bible says something that is mind-blowing. It says they left that beating rejoicing. Wow. Wow. That's a wow gift. How about this? Like the book of Daniel. Daniel has a very tragic life. Like Daniel is ripped away from his homeland. He's enslaved. Some theologians believe that he was actually castrated. We get this later in life. He's actually sentenced to death. And so amidst all this tragedy and whatnot, here's what it says. It says at that moment, when he got the news of the lion's den, it says he went to his room. He got on his knees. He prayed to God and he gave thanks. He gave thanks. Wow. Wow. Joy on display. How about this? That in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, they're arrested. They're beaten with rods. The scripture is clear that they weren't just thrown into prison. They were thrown into the innermost prison. And that's where all the human excrement and the waste funneled down to the lowest part, the innermost prison. And then it says they were bound in shackles, and so their bodies were contorted. But get this, amidst these horrific circumstances, that it says at midnight, Paul and Silas, they began to sing a hymn. And it captivated the entire prison and the prisoners. So much so that when the earth began to shake and the prison doors flew open, that no one moved. They were mesmerized, captivated by what? By this display, this wow, the joy of the Lord in very, very difficult situations. It is God's wow gift to us. And so let me read for you our text today. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2 as we're talking about the Christmas story, the birth of Christ. And if you remember our story all the way back in the book of Genesis, that Adam and Eve, they sin against God. But in Genesis 3, there's the hope and the promise of a Savior. And throughout your entire Old Testament, it's the story of He's coming, He's coming, He's coming, until you get to the end of your Old Testament, the book of Malachi. From the book of Malachi to the book of Matthew, it represents 400 years of silence. No prophetic word, no voice of God in the earth, just silence. Until a silent night in a little town of Bethlehem with the scream of a baby. The sky rips open and lights up, and the angel of the Lord appears to shepherds out in a field. And here's what they say. It says this in chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news," get this, of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. See, the angels, their message was a message of joy. Great joy that we get. God's wow gift in and through His Son Jesus. And so to move forward in our discussion today, I need to distinguish between happiness and joy, because they're different. They're different ideas. Like happiness, it's determined by happenings or your circumstances or surroundings. Like happiness, it happens to you. But now, can I distinguish biblical joy? Joy is a deep-rooted soul satisfaction that's rooted in God. A deep-seated soul satisfaction rooted in God. And this happens in you. See, happiness happens to you, but joy happens in you. And so it's been my experience that I've watched people chase happiness. And if you chase happiness, it's unbelievably elusive. You'll never catch it. But if you choose joy, I promise you, happiness is soon to follow. In fact, the greatest document our nation's ever known, the Declaration of Independence, and I love it. It's as if the founding fathers were on to the elusiveness of happiness. Do you remember the three inalienable, got it, rights of each and every man is what? It's life, liberty, and what? The pursuit of happiness. It's like the founding fathers are saying, hey, good luck trying to catch happiness, because it's unbelievably elusive and random. And get this, happiness is fragile. It just is. Like, man, you could wake up happy and just the wrong set of circumstances happen. And what happened? Poof. I mean, happiness is gone in an instant. But joy is robust and it's enduring. In fact, C.S. Lewis, this is your weekly C.S. Lewis quote. He says this, that joy is the serious business of heaven. That joy is the serious business of heaven. I love what the prophet Ezra said in the book of Nehemiah. He says this, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so this morning, I just want to just give you a few tips on how you can plug into the joy of the Lord, that you can enjoy the wow gift from Jesus, our Savior. And so here's number one. First thing I need you to do is you need to set joy before you. You need to set it before you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says this, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so you see that Jesus, in order to endure the cross, he says it was horrible. He despised it, and yet he was able to endure it. Why? Because he set joy before him. And so I'm going to ask you the question this morning. What are you setting before you? Like, I don't know if you know this, but scientists, they've discovered this, that we think between 8 to 60,000 thoughts a day, between 8,000 and 60,000 thoughts per day. But get this, 85% of your thoughts and mine, they're negative. They're negative thoughts. And so if you can imagine, do the math on that, like we seem to just be garbage collectors, all this negativity in our life. And so, so what are you setting before you? So the book of Philippians, it's actually the joy book. Did you know that? Like, joy is a mega theme in the book of Philippians. In fact, it's only 4 chapters long. 16 times the Apostle Paul talks about the joy of the Lord. And in the end of chapter 4, at the beginning of chapter 4, Paul's going to challenge us. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. But here's what I love. He's going to help us out to let us know, how do we do that, Paul? How do we rejoice? And let me read to you what he says in chapter 4, verse 8. He says this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And so did you catch that? If 85% of our thoughts are negative, Paul's exhortation is this. Hey man, think about what you're thinking about. Like, pay attention. And so he's asking us, he's telling us, hey, let's fill our mind. Let's purposely fill our mind with thoughts that are beautiful, lovely, commendable, right? All these different things. This is what he says. And so, I mean, this really, for myself, I was really became aware of this as we were quarantined. And then throughout the pandemic, is that like if 85% of our thoughts are negative, and then I began to like this is my routine is I would get up, I would read my Bible, pray, and then I'd do 30 minutes of cardio and then go eat breakfast. But while I was doing cardio, I would watch the news. I'm going to catch up on the news. And here's what would happen. Man, and this is the God's honest truth. I would go from CNN and then something would aggravate me. Then I would go to Fox and then something would aggravate me and I would bounce back and forth. And then I would get off the bike and I would begin my day aggravated and annoyed. Why? Because it's what I was putting before me. Like I was literally robbing myself of joy until I had this epiphany. Why am I doing this to myself? And so I just made it a point, man. I just shut the whole news stuff off, and I just decided, you know what? I'm gonna fill my mind with the Word of God, with sermons, with podcasts and praise. All right. And so that's what I began to do, and I noticed tangibly my joy level increased. What are you setting before you? I would encourage you, man. Set the joy of the Lord before you. Here's number two is this. Joy has a perspective. That there is a perspective to joy. And so I don't know if you're like me, but I know I can already tell, man, Christmas cookies, man, eating stuff I shouldn't be eating. I can already feel like I feel like I have more rolls than a bakery, you know, no longer a six pack or anything like that. And so I'm already thinking about our diet, you know, come January 1. And so have you heard of the Whole 30 diet? It's something my family and I have done. It's pretty intense. And so if you're not familiar with the diet, like there's no sugars, there's no dairy, there's no grains, there's no breads and pastas. And I also say this, there's also no joy on it, right? Because all those things are really fun to eat. Here's what I loved, and the reason why I bring it up is the founder and the creator of the Whole 30 diet is this woman, Melissa Hartwig. And if you don't know her, she's pretty intense, man. And when you open up her cookbook and she lays out the diet for you, I love how in your face and matter of fact she is. Because here's what she says. She says, please don't tell me that not having cream and sugar in your coffee is hard. She said, having a baby is hard. Going through chemo is hard. Not having cream and sugar in your coffee is not hard. And so let's not get those confused. And so I just so love the matter of fact in your face, the perspective that she gives us. And I mention that because James, the Lord's brother, in the book of James, he's going to give us the perspective of joy, and he doesn't hold back at all. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, James says this. He says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Now, we just need to stop a minute. What? Count it as joy when we are forced with trials? He goes on and says, for you know that the testing of your faith, it produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Ah, see, there's a perspective to joy. That we see this, that James says this, that here's what we can deduce from that, is that that trials, though they're difficult, hey, they're not going to last forever. And here's the assurance, if you're a follower of Christ, that God, he's looking, he's going to give you something through your trial and through your pain. Like Jesus wants to add something to you. And so This is my new favorite saying. I heard it said this way, like when you're in a trial, a difficult thing, maybe a workout you don't want to go through. It says, if you can't get out of it, then get into it. If you can't get out of it, then get into it. And so if you're in a trial and you just can't get out of it, hey man, get into it. Roll up your sleeves and say, God, whatever you have for me in this, I'm prepared to receive what you have. In fact, we see they use this tactic, the joy perspective, in the military. If you're not familiar with the Navy SEALs have a 6 to 8 days of just this trial period called Hell Week. And here's the exhortation. They tell all the wannabe Navy SEALs, they say, you need to embrace the suck. In other words, if you can't get out of it, man, get into it and lean into it. And so that's James' appeal to us. And it is the perspective of joy. And so we see this played out in the life of the Apostle Paul. I don't know if you've read his life. He went through some unbelievably excruciating trials. In fact, his life was threatened on several occasions. And so, like, they'll tell Paul, we're going to kill you. But joy's perspective kicks in. And what does he say? To live is Christ and to die is gain. What? So you can't touch Paul because he has the perspective of joy. How about this? They'll say, hey, Paul, hey, we're going to torture you. What is his response? This present suffering is not worthy to be compared to the future glory. What? He's got this perspective of joy that makes him unstoppable, that you couldn't penetrate the joy on the inside of him. And so here's something else. I don't know if you've thought of this, but do you know that even trials in times of difficulty and even suffering, do you know that there's an opportunity for your joy capacity to increase? And let me just illustrate it like this. And I never want to celebrate or downplay suffering and difficulty because we've all had seasons of it. But here's what I want to highlight. Like for myself, on the scale of suffering, you know, I know a little bit about pain. I've had multiple surgeries, over 500 stitches. I've had 5 back surgeries. And so I can remember my fourth and fifth back surgeries. And I got it later in life. So I was a little bit older. And I just remember so many things hurt and were so, the recovery was so difficult. And so get this. Do you know now when I wake up in the morning and I have no back pain, I'm like, oh, thank you, God. What happened? See, I've come to realize through pain and difficulty that do you know, being pain-free, it's not something I'm entitled to. It's a gift from God. And so what now gratitude and the capacity for joy has increased. And so there's actually researchers. There's a woman, Brené Brown. She's a brilliant researcher. And after 12 years of research, see, here was her premise. She thought that joy was the thing that stirred and fueled gratitude. Instead, she found the opposite was true. And so as we are grateful people, that actually helps fuel and increase joy. It helps fuel and increase joy. And so that's my appeal. That's why Paul is constantly saying, give thanks always for all things, in everything. Give thanks. Why? Because he knows it's going to fuel the joy on the inside of us. And so here's point number 3 is this, that the joy, it has a focus. Joy has a focus. And so so my daughters, each and every year, like when they were growing up as kids, around the month of December, they suddenly became like private investigators, like CSI on steroids, forensic scientists, if you will, because they were able to find their Christmas presents hidden in our house every year without fail. Like, it was unbelievable. I remember one time my wife and I, we were living in Manhattan. Do you know how hard it is to hide gifts in a Manhattan apartment? There's no room as it is. And so I remember we took the dogs for a walk, my wife and I. When we came back, the door was locked. Our daughters had locked us out, and we're like, hey, honey, it's us. Let us in. They're like, 1 second. They had been playing with their toys that they found in the room, and so they were trying to hustle and put it all away, right? And so they were experts. So 1 year, I decided, I was like, I was going to hide them where they could never find them. And then I challenged both my teenage daughters, you're never going to find your gifts this year. 5 minutes till they found all their gifts, right? There's something about that. But listen, I want to challenge you this morning. I challenge you to find all the gifts of God that are hidden all around you, all around you. So Kay Warren, Rick Warren's wife, she wrote a book. It's called Joy is a Choice You Can Make Every Day. And side note, Kay is a woman who has known trials, difficulty, and suffering. At 49 years of age, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. She also had to put one of her sons in the ground who lost his life to suicide. Okay, and so she knows what it's like to suffer. And let me read for you an excerpt from her book. Kay Warren says this. She said, "I used to think that life came in waves, that there was a wave of good and pleasant circumstances followed by a wave of bad and unpleasant circumstances with a lot of ebb and flow in between. Or life was a series of hills and valleys. Sometimes we're up and sometimes we're down. But I've come to realize that life is much more like a set of parallel train tracks with joy and sorrow running simultaneously throughout our days. Every day of your life, good things happen, beauty, pleasure, fulfillment, and perhaps even excitement occur. That's the track of joy. But every day of your life also holds disappointment, challenges, struggles, and perhaps even losses for you or those you love. And that's the track of sorrow." And I guess my appeal to you this morning is going to be this. Which track do you want to focus on? Because joy has a focus. So for us having to do these online sermons and whatnot, we've like our knowledge of the whole videography has increased greatly. And I heard this term recently, this idea of rack focus. Rack focus, and what that is that when you're doing a video, you have two subjects, one in front and one in back, you can only focus in on one of them. And so if you focus in on the person in front, then the person in back will become blurry. Or if you focus in on the person in the back, now suddenly the person in front, they become blurry. And so my question is, if there really are two tracks, which track are you going to focus on? Because you can't focus on both. And I just want to encourage you, man, let's focus our hearts and our minds on joy, on the track of joy. Just a little side note, especially as we approach Christmas and with all the social media we have and we see all these people living these perfect lives on perfect trips with perfect marriages, I just want to just let you know, it's not true, okay? It's just not true. And I believe it was Teddy Roosevelt that said this, that comparison is the thief of joy. Comparison, it's the thief of joy. Comparison is going to try to steal and rob from you the joy of the Lord that is your strength. If you have ever heard of the seven deadly sins, and it's fascinating, they say that the sin of envy is the worst sin of them all. And here's the reason why. It's because at least some of these other sins, you get these moments of pleasure. But envy knows nothing of it. In fact, in medieval times, when they would show pictures, they'd put a face to the seven deadly sins, the sin of envy, their eyes were stitched shut. Why? It's because that envy, it forces you, you become blind to all that's good around you because you're fixated on what you don't have. Isn't it the sin of Eve? Remember that Adam and Eve, God gave them everything there was, but one thing. But that one thing wrecked everything, right? And so it was the sin of Eve, of envy. And so comparison, it wants to rob you of joy. So don't fall into that trap. And fourthly and finally, that joy has a presence. That joy has a presence. Let me read for you Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. And I want to highlight this. That in verse 8, David's going to say this, the great psalmist, he says, "I set the Lord before me always." And so the question, I'll reiterate it, what are you setting before you? And David says, "I set the Lord before me always." And then he goes on in verse 11, and here's what he says. He says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So did you get that? Like David saying this, as I set the Lord before me always. that His presence comes, and in His presence, there's maximum joy, maximum joy. And so there's so much at stake as we fight for the presence of Jesus Christ in our life. And listen, I don't want to short sell you on this. It can be hard to keep the Lord set before us always, because we live distracted lives with all our devices and all the media and everything going on around us. And I know the pace of life is so fast. I can't begin to tell you how many mornings where I've had these moments where I get up first thing, I read my Bible and pray, and I've set the Lord before me. And then I go on my day and I don't think about the Lord at all. And it actually robs me of joy, because in His presence is maximum joy. But in the busyness of life, we can tend to lose the presence of God. But not to worry, because you're not the only one. If you recall, in the book of Luke, we see that Joseph, do you remember that Joseph loses Jesus? Like Joseph and Mary, they go to Jerusalem for Passover, and Jesus is a young toddler boy. And as they go to Passover, they leave and they head back to Nazareth, a day's journey, until they realize, uh-oh, we don't know where Jesus is. And so I'm just assuming Mary did what every other mother would do, point to Joseph and say, where's your son? And how could you lose your son? Guys, can I get an amen on that? Guys, we've all had that stuff. We've been commissioned to babysit watch our daughters or our sons. And what do? Da, 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 da. I remember I'm watching Cassie and Lizzie when they were little, and I get caught up in Sports Center or something. And I go in and my daughter had cut all her hair off. I was like, I wasn't worried for her. I was worried for me, because I knew my wife was going to kill me. And for the record, after this incident, we never hear from Joseph again. He's never heard of in the Bible. So I'm not saying Mary did anything, but, right? So we can agree. It can be easy in the busyness of life to lose the presence of God. But here's what I want to encourage us with. Is that Jesus makes a staggering statement in John chapter 16. He says this. He says, you know what? It's better for you that I go away, because if I go, I will send the gift for my Father. And we know that gift is the Helper, or the Holy Spirit. And here's why that's such amazing news, and it's better for us. Do you know, I don't have to fly to Jerusalem to get into the presence of God, but rather the presence of God has been given and lives on the inside of me in the form of the Holy Spirit of God. And so here's what that means, that the presence or maximum joy is available and accessible whenever we need it. But here's the question in my appeal. Will we take the time and fight for the presence of God on a daily basis? And so last story, and we'll close, is this. I don't even know when I got it, but I have this thing. Have you ever heard of a Leatherman? This is a Leatherman utility tool, and it's got 8 billion like different little things in here, and someone must have got me this for a present. And so here's what I want to highlight is I heard this story, the true story. It's actually in Nova Scotia, Canada, and this married couple, they had been out ice fishing, and as they were driving their quad across the lake, this frozen lake, on their way back to their cabin, the husband, as he was driving, he could hear the ice begin to crack underneath them. And so as he begins to speed up, the weight of the quad, the ice breaks through, and the quad immediately plunges down to the frozen depths of this lake. And as the husband and wife, they stagger to get up to the surface, each time they go to reach on the ice, it breaks off and there's nothing to hang on to. And so for over 10 minutes, they're treading water, and the husband looks to the wife and he realizes he's about to die. And so he wants to reach over and kiss his wife farewell. And then he realizes that in his pocket that he has a Leatherman inside. And this Leatherman, he reaches it out, and then he begins to stick it in the ice, and he uses it to pull himself out of the depth. And then he gets himself free and is able to rescue his wife, and they're saved. And I say all that to say this, is I know that there's times in our life when we feel like we're just flailing. And the more we reach to get out of the depths of despair, like joy feels impossible. But I got good news to you, for you, and a promise is that God, if you know Jesus Christ this morning, He promises this, man, He has a gift, the gift of His Spirit that makes the joy of the Lord, our strength, accessible anywhere and everywhere we might need it. Merry Christmas, Every Nation, New Jersey. The joy of the Lord, it is your strength. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this time that we could gather together around your word. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son, and in and through your Son, the joy of the Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, to everyone watching, Lord, may they experience the tangible joy of the Lord this Advent season. But Father, I want to pray a special prayer for those that I know that this Christmas season, it might not feel like a joyous season to you. You've experienced loss, maybe the loss of a loved one, or just maybe through COVID or whatever it might be. But can I just encourage you with this? Though joy might feel impossible, I promise you, God promises this. If we draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to us, and joy is possible. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd reveal yourself, Lord, to those that are hurting. You promised that you'd be near to the brokenhearted, and we thank you that in your presence is full joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, listen, Every Nation, God loves you and has a great plan for your life. The sermon's done, but I have one more reminder. I want to remind you that you can be a part of our Give Life campaign. We will be raising funds throughout the month of December and January, but then simultaneously, we ask that you remain faithful in your tithing and your giving. Like the tithe, it simply means a tenth, and we believe that the Bible teaches that a tenth of everything that we make, we give back to the Lord as a form of worship and a form of sacrifice. But here's the assurance that as we give to God what belongs to Him, He's faithful to bless us and to provide for us. And so there's three ways that you can give digitally, and you can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon, or you can give via text. If you just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977, it's convenient and easy way to give. Or you can mail in your tithe or offering right here to our church offices at 101 Gibraltar Drive, right here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. Okay, Every Nation, and may God bless you as you give. God loves you. He's for you, and I think you're pretty amazing too. Have a great week.
Listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.